Welcome to Upshift, the No Direction Network's Essence 20 podcast, where every episode we give you an edge on Essence 20. I'm Ryan Costello, one of the designers of the Essence 20 system and an author on the G.I. Joe Transformers and My Little Pony role-playing game core rulebooks, as well as over a dozen other Essence 20 projects from Renegade Game Studios. Before we begin, although I have worked for Renegade Game Studios on Essence 20, I am not an employee of Renegade Game Studios. This is not an official Essence 20 podcast. And now more than ever, the opinions that I share are my own. I say that because the topic of today's episode is politics, and we will get to talking about how you can use politics in your game, tell stories to enhance the world, but also because this is being recorded the same week that Donald Trump was declared the winner once again of the U.S. presidency, and I am upset, and I have thoughts, and I'm baffled, quite frankly, as a Canadian looking in, and I see this man who cannot get through a sentence, especially if it's a sentence about policy, without rambling, without changing the subject mid-sentence, unless, of course, he is talking about what he will do for the people that he considers his enemies, which are largely women and people of color and people of different sexual orientation and different gender identity. Basically, the reason that everyone who dislikes Donald Trump accuses him of being the fascist stuff comes from his politics, but everything else they accuse him of being racist, homophobic, sexist, comes from the things that he actually says. Because, again, if you ask him for what his plan is for the economy, what he is going to be doing to repeal things like the healthcare plan that he thinks is so awful, he cannot get through the sentence. He will change the subject as quickly as possible. It is so transparent that he is just using these as a platform to gain personal power and to get out of now his growing legal trouble. And it's so frustrating to watch and be like, well, this guy is one of the worst liars I've ever seen. And yet somehow so many people believe him. So the reason that I am starting off with this is to say that if you are somehow a Trump supporter, a Trump voter, then you are not welcome here anymore. I do not care. This is just so absolutely absurd. And I know some people have this like this pre-planned superiority thing where they say like, oh no, like how petty of the people that actually have ethical standings to say that they will let their politics break up friendships or affect their audience. No, that is so stupid. It is so trying to have your cake and eat it too, where you are deliberately choosing the politician that will make the life worse for so many people. He causes so much harm to people I know, and even the people that I don't know. Just, it is so transparent that he is a vile human being, and he is riling up the people, the worst in people, and convincing them that somehow what these terrible feelings that they have, usually based on nothing, and even when they are based in some kind of measurable fact, it can usually be countered by research. So no, you cannot consider to say, I voted to harm people, but I don't want to be inconvenienced by knowing that my favorite podcaster, or even just a podcaster that I listen to, has different political views. Not just different political views, this is ethical views. This is very basic human rights views. And no, you cannot get away with choosing evil, choosing hate, and not getting inconvenienced in any way. So no, I will not shy away from talking politics for the convenience of people with terrible politics. I will not let people describe things like sexual orientation and race and gender, treat those like they are political topics. I get so frustrated seeing people saying like, oh no, I hope this TV show I'm watching doesn't get political. And what they actually mean is that they don't want the cast to actually represent the statistical amount of different people that there are in the world. No, they want a statistically improbable number of white people, usually white men, to be the heroes. Like, look, I love Star Wars, but it is ridiculous when you start looking at trying to count the number of female characters in that, any people of color. It is, you know, I'm talking to the original trilogy, and the people that are pushing back against any acknowledgement that there are other people in the world, that's not how it works. It was wrong then, and someone finally saying, let's not do the wrong thing that people are continuing to do wrong, that is not politics. That is statistics. That is looking at the world as it is and saying, it's weird that people are crafting a fake world that does not reflect the real world. And And yes, fine, Galaxy Far, Far Away, or whatever fictional world you're talking about. If you can suspend your disbelief that there are human-like people somewhere else in the galaxy having adventures with aliens, then you should suspend your disbelief that it should be all human-like people could qualify to be in these adventures. Not conveniently the ones that are in the majority of them. So if you've got this far and you are a Trump supporter and you are somehow thinking that this does not apply to you, it does. Regardless of your reason for voting for Donald Trump, there is so much, first of all, there's so much evidence that any non-discriminatory reason to vote for Donald Trump is baseless. He's talking about tariffs for the economy. People point out that that is not how tariffs work. And just like how Joe Biden raised the minimum wage, and therefore the corporate overlords decided to raise all prices, not because they couldn't afford it, but because they decided they did not want to lose any money, which means that on just this huge scale, people were instead charged more money than they needed to, because it is not a lack of resources. It is not a supply or demand thing. It is a greed thing at a corporate level, which Donald Trump is. He is Mr. Corporate Level. He is exactly in line with the people that are causing the problems. And if his tariff plan actually went through, not that he has a plan, he just throws around the word tariff. If he does charge tariffs internationally, then that is not going to stimulate the economy. That is just going to cause these corporate people to say, well, we're definitely not going to be the ones, us millionaires and billionaires are not going to be the ones that see less money in our bottom line. So we are going to again push it onto the people that, you know, the dollars and the hundreds of dollars and the thousands of dollars, it affects them. It does not affect the millionaires and billionaires in the same way. Seriously, just anyone that can look at that guy and say, yes, he is making sense. I do not understand. And after the last presidency, like, did you see how he reacted to the pandemic? He continued to deny that it existed. As millions of people were dying, as many people as died in 9/11 were dying on a daily basis. Donald Trump was trying to deny 9/11 daily during his presidency, because his top priority is making sure that he never takes any responsibility for anything. All of these things that, if he were a leader, he should be responsible for. If he were paying attention, then they should land on him. But no, as soon as a comedian makes a racist joke that's not exactly his flavor of racism, he will wipe his hands. He planned this whole thing because, of course, he is the one, he puts his name on it. This is his rally, except for everything that goes wrong magically had nothing to do with him. He is so immune to taking responsibility for all the things that he is very clearly causing. And I don't know how anyone is stupid enough to miss this stuff. So yes, once again, if you, for whatever reason, you think you voted for Donald Trump, the results that you have netted have meant that I have lost all respect for you. You never warranted that respect to begin with, because your combination of either willful ignorance or malicious intent, because you actually want the things that he is actually stands for. Take some water. I don't know if I can pretend that there is actually a topic to this episode other than me venting my frustration at the utter stupidity and the culpability, the complacency of the people that are responsible for whatever happens next, for whatever happens before happening again. There is no good outcome here. So to tie it somewhat into Essence 20, I will say that when I was writing Cobra Codex, Donald Trump was still the sitting president. It was towards the end of his first term. And any time that I was describing Cobra Commander or the tactics that he used to trick people into joining Cobra, I was constantly thinking, people are going to read this and think that I am think I'm using Donald Trump as a metaphor for Cobra Commander, or using Cobra Commander as a metaphor for Donald Trump, because there is so much clear overlap between what I said about Cobra Commander and Cobra's evil tactics and Donald Trump's, you know, cult leader-like presence. And in retrospect, I think the reason that nobody made that connection, which, again, was not intentional. I was writing Cobra Commander exactly the way that he was characterized in the 80s run of A Real American Hero, so of G.I. Joe, with some modernization and just some, you know, whatever other inspired me and other research that I had done that is like, okay, that is how modern criminals of this scale work, so we'll apply that in there. But it was never specific to Donald Trump, except that it just happened to overlap a lot with Donald Trump. So, yeah, and I think the reason that nobody ever really questioned that, first of all, is because Donald Trump did leave the presidency, and so many people that were just boiling with rage or anxiety or worry about Donald Trump on a daily basis were finally happy to not have to think about him anymore. And so they didn't make that connection. But I think everyone else totally missed that this is a perfect parallel for Donald Trump. And like, if you are a Trump supporter, you have to have some degree of delusion to be able to convince yourself that the nonsense he is spouting is actually meaningful and that it applies to you and that is actually good for you or for anybody. But no, instead, we've got one of the people with the worst policies, just a worst track record for treating people right. Like he is openly saying at his rallies that he is not paying people overtime and that he hates unions. Unions are the things we need right now. Trump and people like Trump, people on that level of greed and wealth, where they would just constantly need to see an expanded amount of money, and the only way to get it is to siphon it out of the people. Like that, these are the people that we need to regulate. Unions are the best way to do that. Voting for people not like Donald Trump is another good way of doing it. And so, yeah, I guess I am sitting here a little bit in my Canadian ivory tower, obviously affected by the American politics, because American politics are global politics. You are a superpower. It's... Make it make sense. I know some people are like, oh, well, some people just didn't want to vote for a woman, and I know that that probably applies to a lot of people, but it doesn't make enough sense to apply to the millions of people that had to show up for someone that any amount of research, and I love research, and I love truth, and I love stats, and I love actually knowing what I'm talking about. No one who supports Donald Trump can possibly feel like they know. Well, no, they feel like they know what they're talking about, but it is baseless. It is all garbage. He spews such garbage. So, yes, like, you can imagine that as somebody who cares about facts and cares about people and cares about, you know, the environment and cares about anything other than just myself, you can see how someone like Donald Trump existing is frustrating, let alone his popularity and his enduring success. Anyway, I'm sure some people are going to say that this was foolish of me to do because I will lose followers, but that implies that I care more about my ego than I care about my ethics. And that is just not true. People are going to say this is going to cost me money and job opportunities. And I agree that that might be true. And again, that implies that I care more about money than ethics and just a world that is right and good and cares about other people. Not to mention, of course, as a Canadian, I have so many social safety nets that even if I unfortunately lost all my jobs tomorrow, I am much better off than an American in the same situation. Anyone that says that social programs and socialism, and Canadian is capitalist socialism, it's an interesting juggling act. But yeah, they do not understand how little I have ever worried about medical bills, or even if the worst case scenario that I have to go through, I am much better off than an equivalent American in the same position. Losing jobs, losing healthcare, but because the way healthcare is tied into a job in the States, it's just all one big noose that is tied around the neck of anyone that wants to fight for their civil liberties or escape from the churn of terrible things that a job can subject someone to. As a Canadian, I am fortunate enough to have a lot of outs and have a lot more safety and have a lot more people that are looking after me. And of course, I have other forms of privilege, but that Canadian one is a big one. So yeah, I had some other stuff planned for... Let's see if we can handle a little bit of this. So just the idea of what all of these brands are. My Little Pony may be a little more extreme in how it thinks that togetherness and teamwork and fighting for what's right. It may be a little more on the nose about those subjects, but all three other brands that I have worked on for Essence 20, all of them are about fighting against evil and corruption. Power Rangers, I guess, it's more on a magical scale. But G.I. Joe and Transformers are highly political. Like, Transformers 1 is one of the most political movies I've seen this year. And its politics are very much in line with what a lot of Americans are feeling right now, with the cogless miners being represented by the lower class, being taken advantage of by the smooth-talking upper class. And I guess I shouldn't go into too much detail because that would be spoilers for an incredible movie that not enough people saw. But, G.I. Joe, some of the most fascinating and interesting parts, like some of the most interesting stories that I saw told, especially in the comics, were the ones that were politically charged. Like when an embassy was being burnt down and Roadblock decided to interfere with someone who was trying to burn an American flag. And the guy was like, people are stealing computers and everything. And like, why are you singling me out? And Roadblock was like, no, oh yeah, sorry. And they're stealing typewriters because this was in the 80s. And Roadblock said, nobody ever died for a typewriter. And that's like, I am a Canadian pacifist, but I totally get the soldier's point of view from that line there. But like, as I was saying with the way I described Cobra Commander and Cobra Codex, so much of how Cobra Commander is explained in the G.I. Joe comics is through a capitalist lens. He manipulates money. He takes advantage of the power that it affords him. And if you look at the Cobra characters as they were defined by Larry Hama, like Tomax and Zammert were supposed to be evil acrobats. Larry Hama decided to turn them into evil entrepreneurs who also happen to be acrobats. Like he took a lot of the characters that Hasbro presented him and said, but what if we add evil capitalism to them? So Destro was supposed to be a weapon supplier. He became like a weapon mogul, a warlord, which, you know, that's not a big stretch. But then you've got Tomex and Zaybot, who went from acrobats to martial art, to evil businessmen. And the Crimson Guard went from just elite troops to elite undercover lawyers and businessmen. And then people make fun of Raptor for being an accountant. But this is continuing the idea that these aren't just a guy in a bird costume who uses birds against, you know, who uses falcons offensively against the military. He is also, you know, pushing the books in the right direction. And then later, Cesspool, who was the leader of the evil eco-warriors, which it always bothered me, the evil faction that fought eco-warriors never had a faction name. It was just, this was the eco-warriors line. Here's the good eco-warriors. Here's the evil eco-warriors. And when it was like Ninja Force, you could kind of say like, okay, that's a Cobra Ninja Force. That's a Joe Ninja Force. But it feels weird to say that the Cobra, the people fighting G.I. Joe's eco-warriors were just Cobra eco-warriors, because that really feels like a pro the planet name for that faction. But anyway, Cesspool was once again given like a business. He was a CEO, and then he was pushing a lot of environmental he was skirting environmental regulations, and that turned back and cost him because he got exposed to the radioactive waste that he was trying to cover up, and you know, it scarred him, which yes does lean into the like all villains have scars trope, but at least in this case there was like some karma attached to it. And one of what I think is one of the best storylines in G.I. Joe is the forming of Cobra Island. And this is, again, highly political in that as soon as... So the way the story goes is that Cobra Commander and Destro leaked false intel that they were on a submarine. And so G.I. Joe deployed... they dropped... I think somebody corrected me that they didn't drop nuclear depth charges, but that they thought about it and then decided to go with a non-nuclear option. But anyway, the depth charges shifted a fault line, created a body of land to come out of the water. Cobra went there and then mobilized the Crimson Guard into the United Nations saying, we have people on this island. We are declaring it. This is now a Cobra Nation. And it was all like, it was G.I. Joe was thwarted by legal experts, and it's cool, and it shows that there is a lot of areas that you can use actual politics in to inform your story, to make it to expand your threat beyond just Cobra has good guns and they shoot well. Maybe they don't shoot well, but anyway, yeah, sure, they have the technological side, but they having the legal loopholes and working in their favor, that made Cobra much more interesting in the comics than it was presented in most media. which is why the comics have kind of taken over as the canon of G.I. Joe. Because, again, like, yeah, there was more depth to those stories than you expect. And anytime you read through the comics and you find a moment that has surprising depth to you, more often than not, it is politically driven. But there is also a lot of diversity in G.I. Joe, and some of the best moments for individual characters spring from that diversity. We've talked about how Storm Shadow, Larry Hama deliberately turned what could have just been like a Cobra martial artist, like he was presented on the cartoon, just, you know, rank and file elite soldier, like a lieutenant level soldier, a Boba Fett level soldier. He turned him into one of the comic's main characters, specifically because Larry Hama is Japanese-American. He didn't like that the first Asian character was a villain, and so he decided to make him an interesting character, a character with a lot of depth. And so he explored his roots. He brought Snake Eyes in. Snake Eyes' entire backstory is tied to Storm Shadow's backstory and Storm Shadow being Japanese. And Larry Hama put a lot of himself into that character in ways that the ignorant now might call woke and accuse Larry Hama of, you know, using his personal bias or something to create a diverse storyline that they reject. I don't know. I definitely think that if the 80s G.I. Joe comic was written today, the stuff that it would specifically be criticized for is the stuff like Storm Shadow playing a prominent role. And one of my favorite Clutch moments, because Clutch is generally kind of a... how likable he is depends on how much tolerance you have for somebody that will say whatever he wants, including being pretty lecherous around women. But there was one story where G.I. Joe had to escort a Nazi, you know, technically a Nazi defector, but he was not leaving the Nazi party because he had some kind of change of heart or realized or had been duped into his position. No, he was still a Nazi. He was defecting because it was politically convenient for him in that he would get immunity in exchange for the, you know, intel, Nazi intel. So yeah, he was still not a good person. And Roadblock, who was either the leader of the team or just he was on that mission, noticed that Clutch was just kind of sitting there really tense. And so he asked him, like, what's going on, Clutch? And Clutch talks about how he remembers when he and his family would watch Hogan's Heroes and they would all laugh at the antics at the Nazi camp. And his grandmother would sit there and just quiet and uncomfortable and would rub the numbers tattooed to her arm. And it's like, this is powerful symbolism. And it is highly rooted in history and politics, which was not as far removed in the 80s as it is now. And it was used to really add a lot of depth to this character and make this story. Like, there were dozens of stories like this one, but because this one was so pulled from the history books, it had a lot more meaning to it. But there was also, like, the concept of the jugglers was introduced pretty early on, which is that these were American high-ranking generals or high-powerful politicians. It was never fully explained who the jugglers were, only that they had influence over G.I. Joe. And that was a regular conflict within the comics of Hawk trying to be a good person and a good soldier and a good leader and do right by his soldiers, knowing that sometimes the missions they were going on were motivated for the personal gain, or actually just mostly mysterious gain. It was never outright stated that I remember that the jugglers were evil, but clearly they were operating on a level that was not always in G.I. Joe's best interest. They were using G.I. Joe for their own gains. And so, yeah, so the jugglers as evil or questionable American military in G.I. Joe, which is an American military comic. The main characters is this unit of this American military unit. And there was another issue where I don't remember the details of it, but I do know that the person who sent them on the mission at the end is revealed to have been operating selfishly. And I believe it was Hardball tells this to Muskrat, and they were both on the mission. And Hardball's like, hey, did you hear that guy that sent us on the mission was not on the up and up? He was not a good dude. And Muskrat just says, like, did we kill someone we shouldn't have killed? And Hardball says, we did not. And he says, did somebody that should have died get away? And Hardball once again is like, no, Muskrat's like, well, then I just did my job. And I didn't like Muskrat after the fact. Unlike, say, the roadblock scene, which was very much getting into the ideology of a soldier. This was another look into the psyche of a soldier. And it showed, like, oof, they're not all good people. And it's when you've got a cast as large as JoJo, you can afford to explore that some of these people are not the good, you know, square-jawed heroes that you might expect them to be. And another, I know I said that I might not even be able to talk about this, but once I get talking about G.I. Joe, man, it makes me a lot happier. Yeah, another wonderful political moment was when during the Cobra Civil War, and because Cobra had at that point established itself as a secular nation, I think is the correct term. Anyway, it was a legitimate nation recognized by the United Nations, and so they called on G.I. Joe for aid, so like half of them did, during this Cobra Civil War. And Joes hated being there, but they had a job to do, so they were working on, I believe they were working on Serpentor's side. And during this time, Destro had already left and formed the Iron Grenadiers, and so you've got these two different factions of Cobra, one of which has G.I. Joe working with them, and then this additional faction shows up and just parks on the beach with a bunch of weapons, and it is a a location of little strategic value. So people were just acknowledging that Destro was there, but nobody could afford to investigate it. And at one point, he and the Baroness were just on like lawn chairs watching things while their whole army is sitting behind them. And then after Serpentor gets killed, and suddenly like the war is basically over, and then Destro kind of sneaks in and is like, this is what I would like. I would like, it was something about the Baroness. It was like getting the Baroness being pardoned or being allowed to leave with him. And it all the like the tension and like the ceasefire that had happened afterwards, it was basically just like, fine, we'll approve your request as long as you just leave. And so Destro left and he makes a comment about how like, I got everything I wanted and I didn't fire a shot. And it is such a cool, powerful moment. So yeah, if you want to use politics in your game, I wouldn't, like, I can't get in depth in how I write them when I'm writing adventures, because they really do need to have a more universal appeal. But I do, like, in my home game and in your home game, I feel like there is definitely a place for this kind of playing with politics as part of the theme. And there, it is definitely a way to create more detailed and interesting stories. And G.I. Joe and Transformers are perfect vessels for these kind of stories. All right. I do feel better now. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to start every episode just reminding Trump voters that they're not welcome here. But I'm positive I made that clear, and I don't know how many people got through the whole episode, but man, these are stupid times. Things should not be this obviously wrong, and yet some people made this happen, and some of them are even proud of it and patting themselves on the back. It's dumb. It is so dumb. It should not be so obviously not right. But anyway, that's these are the times that we are stuck with. And anything I can do to, first of all, hold those people accountable. And second of all, if people need help, you can reach out to me. I am very easy to access on the internet. If you're going to reach out and try and argue with me that, oh no, you shouldn't talk politics, forget it. Don't bother. I am talking exactly the politics that I feel need to be talked about right now. And that people hiding under a rock is the wrong attitude. And if people just don't like being called out on making these terrible moral choices, then these are the exact moral choices they've made. And also, I'm sure people are going to try and reach out to me and explain how you can be a Trump supporter for reasons other than endorsing his worst qualities, but his worst qualities are so front and center that all of his other policies, like, we need to get so far past the awfulness that is Trump so that we can actually make meaningful change by having two qualified candidates actually talking about the issues that matter, which is probably just a dream. Like, we don't have that in Canada either. Like, I will say every provincial election, I know that there is one party that is going to be trying to break up the country, because that's just what Quebec is. And I have to figure out who the most popular not trying to break up the country party is and vote for them, even though I usually will have multiple interesting choices that if I had the freedom to explore more deeply, it would be nice. But I have to be a one issue voter, because the otherwise it is just too much in the opposite of everything that I think is right. And it's not even, it's frustrating. It would be nice if things were different, but just to put a fine point on the last point that I was making, if you just need someone to talk to, or you need a distraction, or someone to vent with, or somebody to see if you can out anger you, I am all over the internet. You can find me. Let me know. Until next time, I'm Ryan Costello, and it's Upshift does not have an outro, and it is ridiculous. Yeah, the podcast that I worked on, the outro came before any episode was recorded. Upshift just doesn't have an outro. Weird. That was screaming like the undead. I let him in every day. My main meditation was taking him down. My pain medication. Shanna sighed, and she knew she couldn't call me. At least until I found out what happened to Tommy. That mission was private. For now, the objective was stopping the threat of this venomous collective spreading across the globe. I was ready to lock and load with flash, grand slam, clutch, zap, and rock and roll. Hawk, steal a grunt, breaker, and short fuse. And before I knew.